Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Welcome back. WIP Midday Show, sort of. I'm the only holdover left, Kyle Quinn.
And only for one day.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in the Joe Giglio chair today. Buzz Wilson, we did switch earlier in the show, in case you're wondering why I'm the one bringing us back here. Buzz Wilson in the Hugh Douglas chair currently. You have not been as plant-based as I expected you to be.
No.
When you sat down in that chair, we did not exchange takes. We just exchanged seats.
Correct. Yes. No.
Was it a little warm over there?
A little bit. But no, this has been a really fun show. Yeah. Again, I've had the chance to work with three different hosts in this time slot. That's over good. These 4 days. Al twice, Rob Ellis once, and now you once. It's been a lot of fun working with each and every one of you guys. And this is a fun time slot. We were just saying during the break that this time slot, it moves fast.
It does. It really does. It snaps by, especially like when it's a Friday like today, and you know we have plenty of awesome callers all show. We will get to as many of those as we possibly can before we get out of here. Handing it off to John Johnson, who's once again filling in for the afternoon guys, starting at 2 p.m.
He's got snack of the afternoon at 5:30, so stay tuned for that.
Nobody fear. Snack of the afternoon's coming up.
See you, snack of the afternoon.
Yeah, right. In just a few minutes, Buzz and I will try and craft the perfect wild card weekend TV schedule for football. I will get to some calls in short order here. But, Buzz, I saw something that it shook me to my core because I never thought that this was a possibility of something that I even had to consider.
Snow in the forecast again?
No, well, you know, that I'm not too happy about, but I will eat my medicine with this. If what I just saw actually ends up happening, I quit my job, dude. I will throw a temper tantrum. I will cry. I cannot live in a world where this is not the reality for me. So I'll just set the table here. I've, from beginning to end, been one of Howie Roseman's biggest fans. I may have wavered just a little bit to that 2020 season. That was a disaster. And the Carson Wentz contract was awful.
Sure.
But I love the way he rebounded from that. I believe that Howie Roseman is the singular best general manager in football. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's the greatest general manager in Eagles history. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. Clearly, I will put this out there that Tony Pauline, who's a very connected individual, and this is not, I don't think this is him saying that this is necessarily a huge possibility, or he's hearing this, or he's reporting this. It's a little more speculative, if anything, but he says the Jets, who Howie Roseman grew up a lifelong fan of,
yes,
by the way, this offseason, to think outside the box, do something crazy, such as offering Howie Roseman the keys to the franchise and an equity stake in the organization. So essentially, an offer that Howie Roseman cannot refuse is, I think, what he's getting at, right? Like, what that might entail could vary. But, Buzz, dude, if Howie Roseman, let me just be clear. I don't necessarily see it as that big of a possibility. Like, I think he'd be an idiot to leave what he has here and, you know, the camaraderie he has with Jeffrey Lurie and what Jeffrey Lurie allows him to do. I think he'd be insane to leave that for Woody Johnson and the Jets and that disaster. I cannot see Howie, like, I will do whatever it takes, Buzz, to keep Howie Roseman as the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, even if that means offering him a lifetime contract without a fire clause. I can't have this. I cannot have Howie Roseman leaving the Eagles organization.
There's no way. There is a 0% chance that Jeff Lurie allows Howie Roseman to walk out the door. The only thing the Jets would be doing in any case like this is perhaps giving him a raise so that Jeff Lurie has to match it.
Yeah.
Jeff Lurie just raised money with some investors at an $8.5 billion valuation.
That's true.
For the team. I think he's got some money in his pocket to go spend on making sure that his general manager, who was kicked to the side of the building by Chip Kelly, who he loves, is about to win his third executive of the year. I don't think there is any chance he leaves the NovaCare complex. I don't think Howie Roseman would ever entertain this. You can stop shaking your boots. Oh, he's not going. He's not leaving.
I know. I can't even keep my hands steady over here. Like,
Howie Roseman running the Jets. Come on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's a little bit far-fetched, but, like, look, these are connected people who are putting that out there. And, I mean, look, the Jets should be desperate at this point, but I don't think it's that.
That's
big
great.
Of a
they
possibility.
Can give him a raise.
I hope this is
Howie Roseman's salary doesn't go against the salary cap. Only
no,
the players he pays.
You're right. That's right. Not my money either, as
nope.
they say. I hope that's the last time that I see anything of that ilk. I cannot have Howie Roseman leaving the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll fight for it. I'll pick it outside the NovaCare if I have to do that. 215-592-9494. Are you worried about Jalen being a little bit rusty heading into the wild card round, considering, you know, it'll be about a month where he's only taken 12 meaningful snaps of NFL football? If you want to get in on the Saquon rushing record, been talking about that all week. And of course, Nick Sirianni's job status seemingly hanging in the balance with this postseason. Daniel in Coatesville wants to talk about Jalen Hurts. What's going on there, Daniel?
Not much. How's it going, Coates? Happy New Year.
Great, dude.
Doing well.
Happy New Year, man.
Doing good. One thing I wanted to comment on that I don't hear too many people talking about is the whole Jalen and the concussion thing. And my thought is I'm not too concerned with it in the near future. I'm not worried about him being rusty. I feel like watching that Cowboys game, whoever's in charge of getting these quarterbacks ready to play, they're doing their thing. You know what I mean? I feel like Jalen's going to be prepared. What I'm worried about is that we may have a Tua situation with Jalen and concussions.
Like, you think they're adding up a little bit?
Sorry?
You're saying you're worried that they're starting to add up a little bit?
Or like, is this going to be a common thing? Because of how he plays in every season, we're going to have to worry about playing Jalen for 5 games.
Sure.
And so that backup role as a backup quarterback becomes more and more important. So maybe we consider, you know what I mean, putting a little bit more investment and time into who's backing up Jalen. If because of how his style plays, and then concussions, usually when they happen again, they get worse.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there, Daniel. Like, the reality of this situation with Jalen Hurts is that it's now, what, the third year in a row that he ends the season. Well, he wasn't missing time at the end of last year, but he had that ankle injury that he needed to get worked on in the offseason.
Yeah.
He missed time with the shoulder in 2022, and now the concussion this year. His style of play is conducive to somebody that might be banged up. And, I mean, look, this happens to Lamar Jackson all the time.
We used to see it with Michael Vick all the time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that there is something to that. Are you worried that he might be a little bit rusty, Daniel, if he, you know, does end up clearing concussion protocol next week and he just gets sort of thrown into the fire in that wild card game?
No, I don't believe he will be. I feel like mentally this is a spot where we want him to be. He responds well in these type of situations. And like I said before, these guys, whoever's in charge of having these quarterbacks ready, had Tanner McKee ready, had Pickett ready in a week. I'm not worried about that. I personally would let the starters play for the first half, mainly because of Jalen's absence. But even if he doesn't play, I'm not worried about it or going to account bad play to him being rusty. I'm just going to say this is Jalen.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, look, if they start slow, then there is the argument that that's how he's looked when he's healthy for the majority of this year, Daniel. It's a good point, man. You got something that is long overdue?
Yeah, man. We got 12 interceptions this season on this defense. I love this defense. We got 12 interceptions, and no cornerback has an interception. And my man, CJ took one from the rookie last year.
Quinyon Mitchell had it intercepted from him last week.
Yeah, Quinyon does need an interception. I totally agree. And that probably was a huge reason that he's not the front runner for the defensive rookie of the year. He doesn't have the flashy stats, right? And you, usually with defensive linemen, it's the sacks.
He is second, I believe.
Yeah. No, he is. But I think at this point, it's probably going to go to Jared Verse. Especially because the last 2 weeks, I mean, he got cooked once or twice, Quinyon. It was rare to see. But, you know, he doesn't have the interceptions and now starting to fall off a little bit. So that looks to be a bit of a lost cause. Really, it would have been nice to have a defensive rookie of the year.
Really quick, one thing that I just heard Daniel allude to, and I've heard a number of callers in this very time slot allude to all week long, a mindset I do not get at all. Like in the preseason, sometimes you'll see teams play, and the Eagles don't do it anymore, but play guys for a quarter, maybe a half.
Yeah.
And some people saying, well, just play Saquon for a quarter or a half and see how he does. I think you're either all in or all out on this thing. You either go chase the record and see how long it takes. If you play him for a half and he gets to 70 yards, okay, now you're playing him still into the third quarter.
Sure.
Or if he's at 50 yards, you're playing him the full game. You can't tell Saquon you're going to play on Sunday, but you got to do it in the first two quarters.
Right. I guess I think the stipulation is you play the half and then reassess where you're at there. Like if he's... I think
could he not go for all the people who think he could get it in the first half?
Yeah, he could do it
in the second half.
Sure.
So in what scenario would have happened where you say we're going to play him for a half? What scenario would he not play the second
half?
Yeah,
like what's your cutoff, right? If he's at 15 carries and he only has 25 yards or something, is that a situation where you're like
75 in the second half?
Right. So no, you're right. I mean, that's definitely something that they would have to consider.
So what would that game plan have looked like? Just every single play? Why are you going to mix in any passing plays? No one cares.
If you're the Giants. Why even put a secondary out there? Put eight defensive linemen.
You went deep and caught a touchdown? Yep. Big deal.
Yep. Yeah. That's that goal line formation there in Madden where you just line up everybody on the line.
At midfield.
And you sell out to stop Saquon. I mean, who cares? Get beat over the top. They're the Giants. We want to lose anyway. Owen in Lower Gwynedd wants to talk about the Birds in the postseason. What's going on there, Owen?
Kyle, Dan, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Owen?
I've been hanging on for a while.
My man.
I wanted to throw something out that you addressed early in the show.
Yeah.
And that was the Phillies-Cubs game on July 4th.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
You there too?
I was there too, and I met Dan.
This is true. I saw Owen there.
I'm sorry to hear that.
it was like meeting royalty. I met him and his family.
Wow.
Yeah, my parents got a big kick out of that. That I got recognized. I mean, getting recognized, being a WIP producer/host and getting recognized at Wrigley was pretty impressive.
How about it?
Yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
That's awesome, man.
And it's great to talk to Dan, not, three in the morning.
And
or
not Kyle.
Not Kyle.
Well, that too. I mean, Kyle.
One of us
Kyle
will be hosting this weekend at 2 a.m. Tune in to find out who.
And by the way, I'm glad all the Saquon stuff is done. I had to turn music on for a couple days. And I think they made the right decision.
All right. Well, what do you think about this whole idea that Jalen Hurts might be a little bit rusty going into the postseason? Does that worry you at all, Owen?
I think Tanner McKee's going to lead us, just like everybody thought in 2017 that Nate Sudfeld was going to do it, right?
Oh, Tanner Foles?
Yeah, how about it?
Nate Sudfeld was unstoppable in that game. People forget that.
Exactly.
He was.
Exactly.
Or he said so.
There was talk. Yeah, no. That's right. Even though he's by definition unstoppable, they did not score a point.
By definition, they didn't score a single point, but he got stopped every single time, but he was unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
On the bright side, Jalen's going to be well-rested for the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess that is another way to look at it. It's rest versus rust. You're taking the side of the rest is going to be good for them. I would tend to agree. I just wonder about that rhythm and the timing in that first game there, whether, you know, if everything they build up, if they're going to be able to just sort of hit the ground running by the time they get back into the postseason.
they'll just run the ball because Saquon's there and he's well rested.
That's fair. Art Owen, got something that's long overdue for us, bud?
Well, I had told Caleb the Flyers, since that's the longest.
Yeah. And you'd be right.
As a Philly season ticket holder, I want to change it to the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we
not as long overdue as the Flyers.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
To be fair. But oops, sorry. I just did not mean to cut you off so abruptly there, Owen, in the middle of your phone call. I apologize, buddy. Do appreciate you calling in. What do you think, Buzz, before we figure out the schedule? One more call, and we'll see if we can squeeze another one in after?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's go to T in South Philly. Thinks the starters should play versus the Giants this week. T, what's going on, buddy? How upset with you that they're are you that they're not going to play the starters on Sunday?
I think it's like, first of all, Happy New Year. Charlie.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Got it in before the buzzer.
Yeah, I think they should play him because, like, you know, Saquon came over here, gave us his all, and, you know, like, that is like a historical thing. Like, when he get older and he's sitting in there watching TV with his kids or whatever, like, they might be, like, so hyped to see a running back and thinking that, okay, Grandpa, yeah, you was okay, but this running back right now today is good. And then next thing you know, the running back get close to the rushing record, and then guess who gonna be seen on the TV?
That's right.
Big Grandpa.
Yep.
So like, it's reasons why people do stuff like that. And for somebody to not to say like, and a big thing that I'm about to say, but he's really like playing God, because you can't stop faith. Because at the end of the day, the Giants is the team who let him go, and then he organically had a good season. He wasn't really trying to get it. And then all of a sudden, the last game of the season, it's like a storybook.
Yeah, it's like poetic in a way, T. Super, like big time.
Yeah, now you play the Giants. And okay, like, all right, they say something about injuries and all that. That's a scared mentality. And the only thing that we're doing that I believe is we basically having a replay of 2023. Because last year, we was going into the playoffs kind of scared as a fan base, like, dag, like, we look bad, like, I don't know, so we got to play our starters to try to get some good vibes to go into the last week when AJ got hurt. That's why we played, so we can try to get some good vibes.
Yeah.
Because we was looking bad, and now, all of a sudden, we put that right back on ourselves of, like, being scared. We was already scared last year. Now we're going back into the playoffs again being scared.
Morale is low, according to T in South Philly, heading into the postseason. I guess there's an argument to be made there. Yep. T, what do you got, man? Something long overdue.
The Russian record should be broken.
Way to tie it all in, buddy. Look, I agree. Like, the fact that every time somebody gets close, you bring up Eric Dickerson's name. He's the record holder. That would be the case for Saquon. I know we mentioned the fact that his family wants it worse. You know,
of course,
it's a legacy thing, man. It's super cool to have. I think the rushing record's like the coolest thing in the NFL.
No, we don't want you to get it.
They're going to go pick it down the NovaCare too.
Yeah,
but
run the ball.
Yep. All right. So we'll try and squeeze another call in before we get out of here. But real quick, we did promise that we would try to assemble, Buzz, you and I, the ideal wild card weekend playoff TV schedule. So I'll just put out there. I'll put out there all the teams that are in and what seeds are in right now. We'll do it sort of as it stands currently.
We don't. There are still a few things that can move around.
Right.
You know, Denver might not make the playoffs.
Yes.
The Commanders and Packers could flip. But this, I think, the way the standings right now is fair to say, it's the most likely scenario to hold.
I agree. And I think the one biggest stipulation here is that if it is the Bengals and not the Broncos, the schedule probably drastically changes in terms of what the TV, you know, companies want to do. Burrow and Josh Allen is an electric matchup there. So as it currently stands, we have the 2-seed Bills versus the 7-seed Broncos, the Ravens as the 3 versus the Chargers as the 6, Texans as the 4 versus the Steelers, who are 5. You have Eagles, Packers, Rams, Commanders, 3-6, and then the Bucks and the Vikings as the 4-5 matchup. Buzz, Saturday, I penciled in Texans and Steelers as the lock 4:30 game.
Well, that's the rule, as we all know. The Texans, or whoever wins the AFC South, absolutely owns the Saturday 4:30 time slot. For listeners to the Bill Simmons pod, that's the Shakey's Bowl time slot. It's always the worst game. It's the unwanted game It's the forgotten child.
It's the weakest, I think.
It's always the weakest. The Saturday 4:30 is the weakest time slot. So therefore, the tech, like for years, Matt Schaub used to own that time slot. So yeah, I agree with you. Saturday 4:30, and also, I don't know how many people realize this, Amazon is getting a wild card game this year, and I believe that's locked into the Saturday 4:30 time slot.
You can give Allen and Kirk Texans Steelers.
I think we're getting Steelers at Texans on Amazon Saturday 4:30.
All right, and then 8 o'clock, I'm curious where you who you put in here. I had the Rams and the Commanders in this one. I think it sort of fell as the – I was doing some of the other games first. This one felt like the most appropriate one to put in at 8 on Saturday night. Rams, Commanders.
So I differ from this. We have seen the Bills a number of times in the last few years play on Saturday night. That game they played a couple of years ago where it was like 5 degrees was on Saturday night. I actually don't know how much Burrow necessarily would switch this. They used to put Tom Brady on Saturday night all the time. It's a nice – you know, little time slot there. And also, CBS gets a game on Saturday and Sunday. It's not like the old days where it has to be AFC, but I'm still feeling an old-school AFC wild card matchup. Broncos at Bills. Again, could be the Bengals on that Saturday, 8 o'clock.
All right, so I put the Bills and Broncos at what I think is the second weakest time slot of this entire
Sunday
weekend.
Sunday at
1 o'clock. I don't see any chance in the world that the Broncos make this a competitive game. Rookie quarterback going on the road against the MVP of the league. I think the Bills handle serious business against the Broncos. I think that's a lock for the 1 o'clock game. Now, where I differ from you is that I do believe if this was Joe Burrow and the Bengals going into Buffalo, that makes this Saturday. A Saturday night game, prime time. That's an awesome matchup. So I had Bills Broncos at 1.
So I have Fox carrying Vikings Bucks here.
Okay.
But we've seen the Buccaneers in the 1 o'clock. The Eagles played the Buccaneers in a playoff game in 21. That was the Sunday 1 o'clock time slot. Buccaneers, not a huge TV draw. Vikings, also not great. You know, that feels like, or could be the Lions also. It feels like the Buccaneers in a 70-degree day in Tampa host a Sunday 1 o'clock playoff game.
Okay, I see that. Now, I'm not sure. I feel like we might both agree on this one, and maybe this is just the idealistic Eagles fan in us, but Eagles-Packers feel Sunday 4:30 to me.
I think the best time slot of the weekend is Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Okay, you've got the prime. Both are primetime games.
Because NBC usually gets the first pick, and 8 o'clock every week is the main slot, Sunday Night Football, right?
Yep.
So it feels like Packers-Eagles could be Sunday Night Football.
Sure.
And then that would slot the Chargers-Ravens in a
Harbaugh?
Dusk. Well, Harbaugh at dusk in Baltimore. That feels like CBS 4:30.
So we flip-flopped those. I had Ravens-Chargers at 8:15. And then finally, this is where I put the Bucs and the Vikings. I'm assuming this is where you had Commanders-Rams.
Okay. I think it's a slightly L.A. versus Commanders. Okay. I think it's a better draw than Vikings.
Sure.
Bucks.
Okay. I think they're somewhat similar matchups, like juice-wise. So I did... We both put those games in the 8 o'clock time slot. It's tough to call which one I think is going to be more competitive between the Rams and Commanders. Or both could be really good games. I mean, the Bucs are feisty, and they will be home. No, they won't be. So Minnesota would be home in this one.
In which one?
In Bucs-Vikings. So
no, Buccaneers would be home. They won the division.
All right. So
even though the Vikings would have whoever, that's why this game at Sunday night.
And it is juicy then, because if the Vikings on the road.
This Lions-Vikings game, one of these teams is going to have 14 wins and go on the road wild card weekend. And by the way, really quick gripe.
Such a tough draw, man.
Really quick gripe, because we've had this expanded playoff system now for, what is this, 4 or 5 years? It's no longer super wild card weekend.
No.
It's just regular. This is the new norm. It's no longer. It is super, but it's not super wild card weekend relative to. It's not new anymore. The same way that you can't say Happy New Year beyond January 3rd, it's no longer super wild card weekend. Yeah. It's just regular wild card weekend.
I would also add, this is probably the most opportune time for a 7 seed. To have a good chance against a 2 seed. Unfortunately, it's us on the brunt end of that one, being the 2 seed against a feisty team.
Well, then it could be the Broncos going to Buffalo. Yeah,
that's right.